Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello and welcome to the American Patchwork and Quilting Podcast. I'm Lindsay Mayland, and I'm so excited to be here with you. To start the show, I want to describe a situation to you that I think you'll find familiar. You need a decor item for your home. Could be curtains, replacement cushions for outdoor furniture, a pillows, a new oven mitt, a set of storage bins, it could be anything. And you go to the store to look, or you're browsing your favorite online stores, and you find the decor item you need. And then you think, I can make that myself. So you don't buy it, because why would you? You're a talented sewer. You can make decor items like this in your sleep. There are hundreds of patterns out there for what you need. Why on earth would you waste your money buying something you can make yourself? And a week goes by, and then a month, and now it's half a year later, and you've never made the item, nor have you bought it, so you still need the thing. Does this sound familiar at all? I do this constantly. My phone is full of pictures I took of things in stores that I actually need, but instead, I decide to make myself. So, on today's show, we're sharing some reasons to prioritize making at least one of these items for yourself. And also, some tips to fit these projects in between the 1 million other sewing projects you probably have going on right now. So first, let's talk about a few reasons that we, as quilters, decide we want to make some of these decor items ourselves. There are some real benefits to making decor items versus buying them from a store. 1. Sewing is fun. We love sewing and love any excuse to spend time doing something we love. For some of us, sewing an item that we need versus maybe an item or a quilt we're just sewing for fun can help justify the time and even the cost associated with sewing. 2. When you make something yourself, it gives you an excuse to play with your beautiful fabrics. Sometimes needed decor items come in the most boring colors and patterns. A lot of items are neutral, maybe seasonal, or even kind of trendy with the motifs of the moment, and not necessarily made of fabrics that we love and that match our decor. So making it yourself allows you to truly choose fabrics you love. 3, you can make the item exactly the size and shape you need it. Sometimes our needs for our home are specific. We need the item to fit a certain space or hold a certain item. So when you sew it yourself, you can accommodate those needs. There have been a few times over the years where I've altered store-bought curtains to fit my space, but the whole time I was doing it, I was wondering why I didn't just make them myself if I was going to have to cut them and hem them anyway. 4, you can personalize things as you want. You can add buttons, applique, monograms, embroidery, pockets, handles, drawstrings, loop hangers. There are a lot of little ways you can personalize decor items for exactly how you want to use it and how you want to embellish it when you make it yourself. And finally, in some cases, making it yourself is cheaper. If you already have all the supplies and tools, most likely it is. Now, if you have to buy all the fabric for the project or maybe a pack of interfacing or a pillow form, it may not be cheaper, but in some cases, you can get a pretty designer look of an item for much less than it would cost in stores. One more added benefit of making an item yourself is that it feels good. I've heard from quite a few quilters that spend all their sewing time making things for others, as gifts or for charities, that they wish they had a little more time to create something just for themselves. And what's great about making a needed decor item for yourself is that usually these items are smaller and take less time than a quilt would. So you can feel like you're prioritizing your needs and making something for yourself to enjoy. And because the item is probably something you'll use or see often, it's a fun and happy moment every time you see it. Here's an example from my own life. And this isn't exactly a decor item, but it's something similar. So I journal every day. I find it really helpful to get my thoughts out on paper so I can start each day with a little gratitude and positivity. I've just been writing in plain composition notebooks, and last year I finally decided to sew myself a journal cover for the notebook I use. It took me one night. I used a rainbow of my favorite fabrics. Now just seeing the journal makes my mornings so much happier. It was such a small thing to do for myself, but it made such an impact in my life. So now that we discussed all the benefits of sewing something yourself, I can hear a few people still thinking, I'm so busy. I have a ton of projects going right now. I'm overwhelmed and stressed just by the thought of this. And hey, I hear you. I feel that way sometimes too. And to that I say, just buy the item. Life is short, and if you need it, just buy it. But if you're actually wanting to make it yourself and want to prioritize sewing something like this for yourself, I have one trick you can try. Between each finish of other projects you're working on, work on the decor item. For example, after finishing a quilt for a charity group, take a few days to work on your decor item before moving on to your next project. If it's a small project, you may finish it in a few days and cross it off your list. If it's a larger or more complicated item, consider breaking it down into smaller steps. So after finishing a quilt, maybe gather all the materials for your decor item. Then after the next finish, cut all the fabrics. Then after the next finish, start sewing. You know your time commitments and the scale of your projects more than I do, so adjust this as needed. But sometimes just giving yourself a little time between sewing for others can replenish your creativity and add some more handmade items to your home. So we're so excited to share these tips because this week's Sweet Quilty Home Challenge is to stitch yourself a needed decor item. For those who don't know, our Sweet Quilty Home Challenge is something we started last summer when we were all quarantining as a way to brighten our homes and sewing spaces. And it was so successful, so we're bringing it back again this year. So this challenge lasts for 10 weeks this summer. It goes until September 12th. And each week we issue a challenge on our podcast and our social media pages. It's just one small step you can take throughout the week to make your space more beautiful and functional. If you participate, you can use the hashtag SweetQuiltyHome on Instagram, and you can also visit our show notes for a link to the page on our website where we list all the details of each week's challenge and a lot of helpful content, video, and patterns to get you started. So all of these podcast episodes during these 10 weeks will coordinate with the week's challenge, so keep listening in. We're going to take a quick ad break, but hang tight. When we come back, we're sharing an amazing story of a woman who makes dolls for children who don't see themselves reflected in toys on the store shelves. Welcome back. I'm handing the mic over to Allison Gamm, the designer of Quilts & More magazine, for Quilting Changes Everything, a segment where we share inspiring stories of quilters making a difference. Take it away, Allison.
I'm so excited to share this story with you because it was submitted by one of our listeners. Amy Jandrasevitz reached out to us talking about her amazing business of creating customized dolls for kids who don't see themselves on store shelves. This includes kids with limb differences, cancer, scars from burns, birthmarks, facial anomalies, and so much more. A Doll Like Me was created to help celebrate the differences that make us beautiful and allow children to be confident in who they are. Amy Custom makes each doll to look like the child who will receive it, so every single creation is unique. The families and children who request a doll are never charged because Amy realizes that medical costs leave very little room for extra spending money. She knows how important representation is and what a difference it can make in a child's life, and she didn't want money to be a barrier. A Doll Like Me is a nonprofit organization that exists through donations. I highly recommend going to their website, adolllikeme.com, or visiting their Facebook page to see these adorable dolls. It's amazing how perfectly Amy matches each doll to the child receiving it. Her attention to detail is incredible. You can only imagine how much love and care she puts into making each doll. A few years ago, Bernie Kringle, an avid quilter, created a Share the Love quilt campaign to accompany Amy's dolls. She asked the quilting community to make tiny quilts that Amy could include with each doll that got sent out. When the idea first came about, they figured they'd maybe get a couple dozen quilts, but much to their surprise, they have received over 1,000 quilts from all over the world. These little quilts have even been used as teaching tools for sewing classes in schools. Amy joined one of these classes via Zoom so she could see the quilts that the class made, and she could talk to them about the importance of what they'd created and how much of an impact it would make on the kids receiving the quilts and dolls. In Amy's email, she said, "My quilters range in age from very little to adult. Some talk about how this project gives them purpose. And some of my little guys love being able to participate in something that shows their global peers how much someone cares." I'm so glad Amy emailed us about her organization, A Doll Like Me. What she's doing is truly admirable and important. Representation can make a huge difference in the lives of those who don't see themselves on TV or in magazines. If you have a chance, check out her website and Facebook page and consider making a donation so she can continue making dolls for incredible kids.
Thanks for sharing, Allison. Amy's mission is so touching to me. Every child, no matter what they look like, should be made to feel beautiful and included in this world. Each doll costs about $100 to make and ship. And like Allison said, Amy does work from donations. So if you can, please check out our show notes for the link to help Amy's A Doll Like Me organization. Now I'm handing the mic back to Allison for a brand new segment called Quilting Mistakes I Made This Month, where we publicly shame our staff for things they did wrong. No, I'm just kidding. We just want to highlight that every quilter makes mistakes. So do we, and we try to learn from them. So we want to share to see if you relate, or even to share any tips we learned along the way, so you don't make the same mistakes we made. Enjoy hearing from Allison.
Straight line quilting can be simple and effective when done correctly. However, if you make the mistake I did, you'll stare at it constantly and wish you could do it all over again. When I first started quilting, I had heard that you should alternate directions when straight line quilting. So for one line, you'd go from left to right, and then the next line you'd go from right to left, and so on. I thought this was to prevent the quilt top from shifting at an angle once all the quilting was done. It wasn't until after I quilted a project this way that I did some research and found that this is not the way to do it. When you alternate directions after each stitch line, it pulls the fabric in opposite directions, resulting in strange ripples in the fabric. The proper way to straight line quilt is to stitch each line going in the same direction. So if you start from left to right, you'll continue to stitch from left to right on the entire quilt. The quilt doesn't shift at any weird angle like I thought it would. But if you want to be extra sure that it doesn't shift, you can add some basting stitches to the edge of the quilt where you're starting each line. You shouldn't get any fabric ripples when you do it this way. Since discovering my quilting error, I've successfully straight-line quilted a handful of projects. When spending all that time quilting, you want to make sure you're happy with the result. So, take it from me and don't alternate quilting directions.
Thanks so much, Allison. I know I've personally had the same trouble that you have with straight line quilting, so thank you for sharing about what you learned about it. I think it'll be useful to a lot of us. We have to take a quick ad break, but we'll be back soon to share tips for getting organized before a quilt retreat and what to do when you run out of fabric for a project. Welcome back. Now it's time for UFO Challenge, a segment where we address common finishing problems so you can complete your unfinished objects. On this episode, we're going to talk about what you do when you run out of fabrics you need for a project. If this has happened to you, we know how much it sucks, because it essentially puts your progress on hold until you come up with a solution. And depending on how old your UFO is, you may not be able to find the fabric in stores anymore, which complicates the situation. So let's start by talking about preventative measures. There are some steps you can take right away on your current projects so you can avoid any issues further down the road. 1. Write down the names of the fabrics you're using, either on a project tracker that you store with your project, or on the fabric's selvage if it isn't visible. That way, if you need more of the fabric in the future, you know exactly what you're looking for. And by the way, we do have a free printable project tracker on our website, so we'll link to it in the show notes so you can start using them for all your projects. And 2, if you're not using a specific fabric line, but instead are using a scrappy mix of fabrics from your stash, cut some small pieces of fabric from what you're using to represent your color palette. Pin the scraps together and store them with your project. That way, if you run out of any specific colors, you can just throw that pinned fabric bundle in your purse and take it to the local quilt store to find more fabrics that match. Okay, now let's talk about what to do if the worst case scenario happens and you've run out of fabric, or maybe even can't find the fabric for one of your UFOs. If you know the fabric line that you're missing, try Googling it. Many times, older fabric lines can be found on Etsy or other online stores. If that specific fabric line isn't available anymore because it's so old, try looking at fabric lines done by the same designer or same fabric company. Sometimes designers create new fabric lines that match their older ones, so you may be able to find something similar. If you don't know the name of the fabric line, try posting about it in an online quilting group you belong to or on your own social media accounts to see if anyone recognizes it. You may even find someone who's willing to sell their fabric to you if they don't need it. If you have no luck tracking the fabric down, you may want to consider making your quilt a little scrappier. If you only have some of the blocks or units done, you can effectively turn your quilt scrappy by finding similar colors and fabrics in your stash to make more of the blocks. This still gives the quilt the look of the original plan, but also gives it enough variety to make it look like you planned it to be scrappier. If your quilt is more than halfway finished, and you think adding a variety of fabrics may not work in the overall design to get that scrappy look, you may want to make your quilt smaller than originally intended. For instance, what was supposed to be a bed-size quilt may be a throw quilt, or you may turn a throw quilt into a table topper. That way you're not wasting any of your work, and as a bonus, you get to add some of the fabric for the quilt back to your stash. So we hope some of these tips help if you ever run out of fabric needed for a project. It's such a frustrating thing to happen, but it's also not the end of the world. Finally for the show, we're moving on to Get Organized, a segment where we give storage tips for your sewing space. And today we're sharing some tips for getting organized for a quilt retreat. I have to tell you a funny story about this topic. So we had originally intended to do this topic in April of 2020. We had it all planned out and we were ready to record, and the pandemic happened and retreats were canceled and we had all these amazing ideas just sitting and waiting for the right time to share. So retreats are starting to happen again, so we thought now might be a good time to share these ideas. And no worries if you just don't feel comfortable doing a retreat right now. We do have some great product suggestions to share, so even if you're not going on a retreat anytime soon, you may want to add some of these products to your shopping list so you're ready whenever you feel comfortable again. Quilt retreats are such a fun way to catch up with your sewing buddies and make progress on your projects. But if you spend a good chunk of time at your retreat, maybe searching for tools or digging through your project bags, you may be less productive than you had hoped. So today I have three creative solutions to share that can make packing for a retreat and organizing your retreat space more efficient. Let's start with packing. So many of the supplies quilters need to take on a retreat are oversized and hard to transport. So to avoid this struggle, consider purchasing an art portfolio case, which are available at like crafts and art supply stores. Portfolios can hold hard to pack and oversized items like cutting mats, maybe a wool pressing mat, any larger acrylic rulers, and even quilt tops. The portfolio usually has a handle, which makes it really easy to carry your supplies to and from your car. And the sides of the portfolio case are also really sturdy, so that your cutting mats don't warp, so that everything is lying flat until you reach your destination. And as a bonus, you can use this to store those same supplies in your sewing space without taking them out of the portfolio, so it's really a handy tool overall. Now, once you're at the retreat space and you're ready to start sewing, you want to keep your workstation tidy. And we really love these flexible silicone organizers, which are available at office supply stores. So these organizers are really versatile because they conform to all shapes of scissors, rulers, marking tools, you know, any other notion. And they're helpful for keeping your most used tools handy and standing upright so they don't roll away from you or, you know, get lost under a stack of fabric. And this is great if you're sharing a retreat table with multiple people. You also just might want to label your tools ahead of time using, you know, maybe colorful ribbons or washi tape to avoid mix-ups if you're sharing a table too. If table space is limited at your retreat, another really useful product we love is a space-saving file organizer that hangs under your work table. So we found one we really like at lakeside.com, which we'll link to in the show notes, but it has individual trays that allow you to separate sewn units or blocks for multiple projects. And because it hangs under the table, it keeps your workspace open for sewing, pressing, and cutting. So like I said, we'll link to some of our favorite products that we mentioned in the show notes so you can add them to your shopping carts if it's sounding like something that would benefit you at your next retreat or even just for general storage in your sewing room. I have quite a few of these items in my own space for everyday use. And that's it for today's show. Before we leave today, though, I need your help. In a few months, we're doing a podcast episode on unpopular quilty opinions. So if you want to share your unpopular opinion with me and have it featured on the show, email me at apqpodcast@meredith.com. And we'll link to the email in our show notes to make it easy. I can't wait to hear from all of our listeners on this topic. We'll chat with you next week.